It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. And now a look at a new exhibition and a new space at the Baltimore Museum of Art. A week from Sunday, the BMA will unveil its new $4.5 million Center for People and Art, which will open with an exhibit entitled Imagining Home. Some of the world's most well-known works of art ruminate on the concepts of place and home. This exhibition brings together artists working in video, audio, and interactive media. They're all thinking about places that mark home, domestic spaces, and the ideas of coming and going, arriving and departing. Gamien Guillot is the Director of Interpretation and Public Engagement at the BMA. On the opening day of the Imagining Home exhibition, the museum will also host a home movie day in which non-filmmakers will submit moving images from their family's archive. We have two of the organizers of that event with us as well. Dwight Swanson co-founded the Center for Home Movies, and Siobhan Hagen is an audiovisual archivist at the University of Baltimore's Langsdale Library. She's assisting with the Home Movie Day project at the BMA. So welcome to everybody. Glad to have you all here.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Gamien, tell us about this new center. In a way, every museum should be a center for people and art, right?
Indeed it should, and indeed it is. So really we see the Center for People and Art as a concentration of the goals of the BMA broadly into a single suite of spaces. And we're really interested in continuing our educational mission, really first begun with the opening of the museum in 1929 in its present location, as the real vanguard of museum education. And so the Center for People for Art and Art continues that tradition here.
So its concentration here is education rather than exhibition necessarily, although there is an exhibition
component
within.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. So the Center for People and Art combines a series of five spaces together into a single center. We have spaces for exhibition, as well as spaces for art making, spaces for docents, and community collaboration. And so we're looking at how all of those things come together, education, art, community, into a single space.
So it's going to open a week from this weekend. I haven't been over there. Where is it physically? Where is it located?
So if you remember the old lobby before we reopened our historic Merrick entrance, it is just to the immediate left as you come in the accessible lobby on the east side of the building, mm-hmm. in what used to be the African and Asian
right.
galleries.
Right, back
mm-hmm.
in the old days. And
yes,
some of
indeed.
Us have been around long enough to remember those. Dwight, tell us about the mission of the Center for Home Movies. The Center for Home Movies is not related to the BMA, but you all are collaborating in this first thing, right?
That's right. Yeah, the Center for Home Movies. We are a virtual organization. We're a nonprofit. We've been around since 2005. Our biggest project every year is Home Movie Day, which takes place all around the country and all around the world. It's happened in Baltimore almost every year. This year, we are very lucky that this kind of coincided with this new exhibit and the new opening. So the BMA actually asked us to be located at, as part of the opening celebration. So we're really
happy. There's a home movie day that happens worldwide.
That's right.
What
yes.
is the date this year for Home Movie Day?
October 17th is the main day, but really it's actually started last weekend and it goes through all through November. As people around the world have started to organize their events, we realized it didn't always work to have it on the same day for everybody. So we just say try to do it in October if you can, but if not, every day is Home Movie Day. That's our new philosophy.
There you go, or at least Home Movie Month. Sounds right. good. So now why make home movies public? Why share them with people? I mean, home movies are just that. You bore your friends with them, or you look at them yourself to remember good times that you had, mm. right?
Yeah, and that's still what they do best, is capture private moments and family moments. But the way that the Center for Home Movies and Home Movie Day came about is that a lot of us who are archivists or people just really interested in home movies and working with them, we were just watching them as part of our jobs, and we just fell in love with them. And that we knew that if people watched other people's home movies, that they would fall in love with him in the same way that we were. And because of that, they would also become more interested in preserving them and showing them and really sharing them.
John Waters, who knows a little bit about movie making, said there's no such thing as a bad home movie, an orgy of self-discovery, a chance for family members to suddenly become show business. If you've got one, whip it out and show it now. That's what John says about all the home movies. So, Siobhan, you're starting an organization, as I understand it, that's going to preserve these home movies kind of regionally. How does that work? What's that about?
Right. That's the Mid-Atlantic Regional Moving Image Archive, MARMIA. Is our acronym, because in the archivist profession you have to have a gazillion acronyms. So that's one I've chosen. And it's going to be a nonprofit. It's not quite there yet, but right now it's more conceptual, of a conceptual archive and a blog where we highlight all kinds of, specifically Maryland, since I'm located in that region now, but anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic, focusing on the regional moving images and recorded sounds that either feature a particular region within the Mid-Atlantic, or a family, a filmmaker, home movies. So it's a perfect example of the special uniqueness of each region that home movies seem to document through family vacations, outings to the zoo. There's lots of horses and sailboating for Maryland. So basically, it's to help preserve those for future generations to see.
Are there particular deficits in the region of Maryland? Is there a lack of home movies from certain sectors of the population?
I would say there's plenty of home movies, but less preservation and probably less focus on collecting and what people have. It's
so
there.
You rely on people knowing about you and then donating their home movies to be part
right.
of the archive?
Or I've been working a lot and consulting with other archives that do have home movies in their collections, but just haven't had the expertise to be able to see what the content is on these, either film or video. So the Maryland Historical Society, I've volunteered with them, and they have they've been able to preserve through the National Film Preservation Foundation a couple of home movies from the 1920s, one of Druid Hill Park Zoo in 1927, one of the great Ocean City Hurricane from 1933.
Huh. So that's got to be right about the time that home movies became possible, right? I mean, movie
right.
making wasn't all that old in the 1920s.
Right, yes.
And for an individual who wasn't a professional filmmaker to have that equipment must have been pretty extraordinary.
Yes. 16-millimeter film came around in 1923, and it was very expensive. It was typically more well-to-do, families that had the money and the time to be able to learn the technology and purchase all of the expensive equipment that you needed to and the film. And then you needed to send it out for processing and wait to get it back.
Yeah,
yes.
Interesting. So, Gabian, how does this home movie thing fit into the mission of the Center for People and Art? I mean, as I understand it, this new center relies very much on this sort of interactive vibe where there are parts of the museum where you go to obviously look at the art. This is a place where you go and you're doing stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Tom. This is very much a part of what the Center for People and Art is all about. So we're looking for opportunities to work with members of our community, both organizations and other institutions, much like the Center for Home Movies, as well as ordinary people in and around Baltimore to really have them enliven what this space is. And you can't really do a show about home without home movies. I think that was just very clear for us.
Yeah, because the exhibition is called Imagining Home.
And right. And how better to imagine home than through looking at the material culture of our homes in our own pasts. And so it was very important for us to have the voices of our visitors and the voices of ordinary people in the exhibition and in all of the spaces of the center, and the Center for Home Movies has been a huge part of that.
That's Gamienne Guillot. She's the Director of Interpretation and Public Engagement at the Baltimore Museum of Art. Dwight Swanson is here as well. He's an archivist who co-founded the Center for Home Movies, and Siobhan Hagen is an archivist at the University of Baltimore. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. So, Dwight, give me an example of some of the international places where Home Movie Day is celebrated and where home movies are big. They seem to be a very big thing in America now. I mean, made bigger perhaps in the last several years when you can just whip your phone out of your pocket and boom, you're a filmmaker. Mm. But are there other places around the world that are like particularly crazy about home movies?
The first group of archivists and filmmakers that we started working with really actively was in Japan. And so if you look at the number of Home Movie Day events, after the United States, Japan is next. In the past several years, there's been kind of a medium-sized explosion of interest among archivists in Spain. So we're trying to cover the world. We're definitely missing out on Africa, and you know, as you can imagine, some of the third world countries, also you know, the Indian subcontinent. So there are gaps, but what we're finding is that home movies really were made all around the world.
Mm-hmm. And Siobhan, you know, Paul Simon had that great song, "Cars are cars all over the world." Are home movies the same? Are home movies the same all over the world?
There are definitely, I think, some typical scenes that you'll see that I know the Center for Home Movies has discussed: birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, mourning, and obviously other holidays throughout the world. But I think that you'll see really familiar things. I think it also, as I mentioned, depends on the region, what kinds of other spaces and places that are home-like that you'll see in home movies, which I think is why each region has its own uniqueness to it. And then also it has its own unique regional preservation issues as well. So Thailand might have different like hurricanes, flooding, tsunamis, and things like that. Whereas here we have a lot of humidity. Arizona is a desert. I think that's another interesting aspect for people with home movies that are stored in their attics or their basements, where they really need to consider how to best preserve them and care for them.
Would you also be preserving things like videos that people take as part of the Black Lives Matter movement? I mean, people who are taking things not in their homes necessarily, but on the street. I mean, you know, holding police accountable, that kind of stuff. Are people submitting those kinds of things as well?
I know that there is definitely a project. I don't necessarily know if it's considered home movies, but through the Maryland Historical Society and a professor at UMBC started a site where people can upload their cell phone videos and other stills and moving images in order to preserve protests.
We've talked
like
to those
that.
Folks on, yeah. on the show, so you know, that's another option that people have for,
right.
for what they're shooting.
It yeah. is a funny crossover now, since you have a camera in your pocket or purse,
right.
that all kinds of genres, whether it's home movies or activist video, it's sort of a crossover these
yeah.
days.
And Gamien, an artist for whom or of whom I have the highest regard, Marion April Glebes, is also involved in this area you have in the center called the Common Spaces. What's that, and what's Marion going to be doing?
She is indeed. So this is a space that we have at the center called the Commons, and we're really looking at this as a space where the community meets the BMA through programs, workshops, lectures, screenings, and a lot of other public engagement events that we'll be cooking up over the next 3 years. But one of the central activities around the Commons that we're very, very pleased about is an artist community partner collaboration. So each year we'll be selecting an artist in concert with a 501c3 nonprofit who works around issues of home in the Baltimore region to do a series of projects using the Commons as the primary site for their activities.
When you think about education programs at museums, you think about kids, little kids. But it sounds like this is something that grown-ups and not so little kids can be involved in as well. This isn't just geared towards children, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're very much looking at the Center for People and Art to be a place of all ages and intergenerational learning. So while we certainly do think of it as a family-friendly space, it's a space that's really for everyone, and especially for adult learners and for learners who would like to learn across generations of their families.
And Dwight, just as we finish up here, just got a few seconds left. What are the challenges in acquiring and, you know, finding and preserving these home movies that come in probably a bunch of different formats and a bunch of different qualities and from a bunch of different places? It must be a pretty overwhelming job, I'd imagine.
Yes, it can be. And there's just so much stuff out there. And there's also a lot of stuff that people have not seen for a long time. They may have never seen it if they got it from a family member. So there's a challenge of figuring out what it is, where you know, where is it located, who has it, who knows what it is, and then the physical challenges of preservation have to do with, you know, the history of its storage. Has it been somewhere that's been damp and the film is starting to decay? And getting it digitized, there's just a whole realm of issues. But having said that, what we have found is that things are in better condition than you would imagine in a lot of cases, because people did see these as kind of personal treasures and took care of them.
Yeah, good for them. All right, well, thanks to all of you for coming in and break a leg next weekend, and good luck with the center. It's going to be a fun place to be. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Gamien Guillot is the Director of Interpretation and Public Engagement at the New Center for People and Art at the BMA, the Baltimore Museum of Art. Dwight Swanson is the co-founder of the Center for Home Movies, and Siobhan Hagen is an audiovisual archivist at the University of Baltimore's Langsdale Library. The Center for People and Art will open to BMA members on a week from Saturday. That's a week from tomorrow. The public opening is a week from Sunday. The exhibition at the center, Imagining Home, will be at the BMA until the summer of 2018. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Ahead on the broadcast, Dr. Pam Peek will tell you how to find out how old you are. Believe it or not, there's kind of an app for that. But first, here's the ever-youthful Nathan Sterner.